How many of you have been here most every week for Revelation? Raise your hand. Most every week. Okay, good. Then I'm going to give you some things by way of review and see if you get it. Now, in chapter 12 and 13, we have what's called in studying the Bible a parenthesis. A parenthesis kind of means a stop in the moment-by-moment development of what's happening. See, if you study Revelation, one thing happens after the other. A lot of people get confused about that. They say, oh, there's the seals, and there's the trumpets, and there's the bowls. And some Bible teachers say they're happening at the same time, and they confuse the fire out of you. That's not the way it works. In Revelation, the seals come, and then the trumpets, and then the bowls. And those seals, trumpets, and bowls all play out within 1 7-year period, which in Daniel 9, verses 24 through 27, is called the 70th week of Daniel. And that has yet to begin. But when it begins, the Bible says that the events of the book of Revelation are going to come to pass shortly. That means one thing after the other. And that's why it's important that you understand the book of Revelation. It is not merely meant as something to spiritualize. No, it is meant as very practical truth that you might know what's happening, when it's happening, before it happens, so that when it happens, you might be prepared. Not confused, not deceived. And so that's why we're teaching this. And so you've had one right after the other from Revelation chapter 1 right on through Revelation chapter 11. But in Revelation chapter 11, you're ending up at the seventh trumpet in Revelation 11. You're ending up at the seventh trumpet. And the seventh trumpet is sounded on day 5. Now, what's day 5? Well, after the end of the 7 years, you have a 30-day period mentioned in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. A lot of people don't know about that. A 30-day period in Daniel 12, verse 11, that's after the 7 years. Okay? And really, the Lord, when he comes back right at the end of the 7 years as far as touching down on the earth. He comes back for us during the second 3.5 years of the 7 years. But he touches down on the earth right at the end of the 7 years. Why is that? Well, because he's going to bring Israel to himself, and they can't be saved until that last 7 years is fulfilled because they're chastened for their unbelief. And on day 3, he saves Israel. On day 4, he raises the two prophets that have been killed. On day 5, he leads the 144,000 on top of Mount Zion, and the seventh trumpet is blown. When that seventh trumpet is blown, that signals now the final bowls of God's wrath can be poured out between day 5 and day 30 of the 30 days. On day 30 is the Battle of Armageddon. A lot of people don't know these details, but they're in the Bible if you put Scripture with Scripture. And everything happens one after the other. So all I'm saying to you, when you get to Revelation 11, where you are is you are on day 5 after the end of the 7 years. You are on Mount Zion with the Lord and with the 144,000 that he's brought out of hiding with the other people that have been scattered, the Jewish people that have been scattered and hidden during the trumpet judgments of the wrath of God. He's brought them out. He saved them. He's on Mount Zion now with them. And in Revelation 11, that happens. Now, in Revelation 12 and 13, though, you have a delay to talk about something, to talk about the battle. And then in chapter 14, where we are now, you pick it back up. You're back on Mount Zion, verses 1 through 5. You'll see it. You're right back there, and he starts right back into bringing things in order. We've already studied that last week, all of that. By the way, if you're not up with this and you'd like to get it, just get on our website, click under audio sermons, and you can listen to all the Revelation studies. And then if you want to listen to more, go under audio archives. You can listen to every verse all the way through, right in our website. Mark Abear, I know, has done that. He's told me. He's done it. Now what we're saying here is that in chapter 12 and 13, we are we are in a delay, and he's looking back. And in chapter 12, he looks back and discusses what nation in God's plan. And he portrays that as a woman. A woman. Eric? Israel. And he shows how Israel gave birth to the Messiah, and God's plan is for Israel to save the Messiah. And then the Messiah dies and rises again and ascends, and he goes right to the ascension of the Messiah, and then he jumps ahead to the tribulation and has the dragon persecuting the woman. And she flees, and he's going right up to the tribulation now. So, but that's chapter 12. Now, if you have the nation that God is going to use to save the world, Israel, in chapter 12. In chapter 13, what do you have? And Nancy? Go for it.
The eighth beast empire.
Yeah, what?
The eighth beast empire.
That's exactly right. You have the eighth beast empire, and you have, therefore, eight empires in history that were beast empires raised up by Satan to try to annihilate the woman. Why does he want to annihilate the woman? Because the woman is Israel, and not until every Jew gets saved can God's kingdom come back to earth, can God take over the earth. God will not take over the earth until the Jews are saved. He won't do it. And Satan knows that, and he's trying to kill him off. Now, he's raised up these eight beast empires, and some of you know what they are. You know them from the Bible. You know all of them. Daniel mentions four of them, but there are two before Daniel. And there's one after the Jews rejected the Lord and their temple was destroyed and they were scattered. After that, there was one beast empire raised up before John wrote Revelation. And after they rejected Jesus Christ AD 32. They rejected Christ on April the 2nd, AD 32. The Jews rejected him. And God said, okay, I'm going to stop your time clock according to Daniel. And there's going to be a 7-year period where I'm going to start it again. And then that'll be fulfilled. And God stopped the time clock. And during the time while God stopped the time clock in AD 70, the temple was destroyed. It was stopped in AD 32, but he destroyed the temple during the timeout period. He destroyed the temple. Also in 1948, the Jews were regathered to their land, AD 1948. But during that time, one empire would be raised up. That would be the seventh beast empire to persecute the Jews. The first beast empire in history and in the Bible to persecute the Jews was Pharaoh, Egypt. Second one was Sennacherib, Assyria. And then four in Daniel is Babylon, Persia, Medo-Persia, Greece, and that split off into Syria, which was Antiochus Epiphanes, and Rome, and that gives you six of them. I want to ask you a question. Who's this seventh one that is so mysterious, that raised up for a short time? Alicia? Nazi Germany. Adolf Hitler. He killed 6 million of them. But there's one more that's coming back called the Eighth Beast Empire that's going to be raised up during the 70th week and will come to its final power in the middle of the 70th week. And one ruler, the Bible says, will return from hell, and he will be one of those rulers, Nebuchadnezzar or Antiochus Epiphanes or one of the Roman leaders like Nero or Adolf Hitler. He's coming back. Disguised. But then the masquerade will come off, and in the middle of the 7 years, everyone will realize who he is. And instead of going, ah, the Jews will go, ah. But many people will say, oh yeah, we worship you. Man, you're powerful. That's how bad it's going to get. And so that is talked about in chapter 13, that eighth beast empire. Now you don't get all of that in chapter 13. You got to go to chapter 17 of Revelation to understand more about this, and we'll go back to this later on. But all this we've studied, and we looked at chapter 14. As I said, we're back now, clicking the time clock and going forward, and we're on Mount Moriah, and saw the 144,000, and we're on what day of the 30 days? What day on Mount Zion? Mount Zion, when the seventh trumpet is sounded, Rob?
Day 5.
Day 5, thank you. Now here it is, very important. Day 5, between day 5 and day 30, what judgments, I should say after day 5, to day 30, maybe day 6 or day 7, to day 30, what judgments will be poured out very quickly in just a few days? Yes. The bowl judgments. Very quick. Those are like the shallow bowls that the Jews would wash their hands in after they ate a greasy meal. They wash their hands and then they take that bowl and go and shake out the water. Well, that's like those bowl judgments. They're going to be scattered judgments throughout the world. And they're going to destroy the world. They're the final judgments of the wrath of God. They are the final wrath of God. And they will take place after day 5 and up to day 30. And there are 7 of them. So when the 7th trumpet is sounded, but before these judgments are going to be poured out, we'll study them in chapters 15 and following. We'll study them in Revelation. Everything's in order. Before that happens now, he is going to take a break. The 7th trumpet has been sounded, and before the bowl judgments, he's going to take a break, and he's going to teach you about 2 harvests. Now, these 2 harvests, one of them has already happened, and the other will happen. And we're going to look at them today, and that's the class today, the 2 harvests that the Bible talks about. So pick up your Bible and look with me at Revelation and chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse 14 through verse 20, and we're going to look at 2 harvests. I'll give you a clue. This will help you understand it. In verse 14 through verse 16, you have the first harvest. In verse 17 through verse 20, you have the second harvest. Now, what does the Bible say? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I'm going to divide these 2 harvests for you because I've studied it. I've studied it hard. I've studied it long. I've prayed. I've asked God to help me. I'm a workman. I don't need to be ashamed when I stand before you. And you can study it by learning it in class just like anybody should. And you can learn it. Or you can be lazy and not learn it. But God wants you to study. The Bible says to show yourself approved unto God. Not me. A workman. Workman. It takes work to study. By the way, you got to show up in class. Those of you that have come week after week, you'll be rewarded for that. God says in Revelation 1, he's given a special blessing for those that hear the book of Revelation, study it. You're going to get that blessing. Those of you just piddle around, you're going to miss out. Now, I encourage you to get on the website and listen to these and get your Bible out and study these and keep the notes when you get notes and look over these things. All right, let's look at these 2 harvests. First of all, look at verse 14 of chapter 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud, one sat like unto the Son of Man. Who do you think would be that one like unto the Son of Man? Remember Nebuchadnezzar in that fiery furnace? He said, I threw 3 in there and I see 4, and one is like unto the Son of Man. Who is that, Michael?
That's in the Scripture, the Son of Man is talking about Jesus.
That's exactly correct. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the fiery furnace, the Lord was there before he became man, but he was there, and I believe here you see a picture of the Lord. And it says that he, having on his head a golden crown. Of course, he's the King of Kings. Amen. He can wear a golden crown. And in his hand, a sharp sickle. Now, not a dull sickle. And not a popsicle. But what's a sharp sickle? What is a sickle? What do you use a sickle for, Michael?
Long stick. With like a knife that goes this way.
Yep. And what do you use it for?
To whip up the grass like a lawnmower.
All right. You want to whip up the grass like a lawnmower. Or if in the olden times, before they had the combines and so forth, you could use it to cut wheat or something like that. Cut it down for a harvest. Exactly. And that's what we're talking about, a harvest. So here you have, with a crown on his head, the Son of Man, which is the Lord, and he's going to do a harvest with a sharp sickle. And by the way, that sickle divides. If something's sharp, it divides. Now, I want you to think about what harvest this is. I'm not going to tell you what this is. There's two harvests. One has already taken place at this point. Not now, but at this point. On day 5 of the 30 days it's taking place. All right? One will take place from day 5. All right? Now, let's look at verse 15. We're still looking at that first harvest and try to figure out what it is. We know it's the Lord that's going to do it. He's using this sickle. And he says in verse 15, and another angel came out of the temple. By the way, that's the temple in heaven. There is a temple in heaven. Crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle. Notice it's thy sickle. And reap, for the time is come for thee to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe. Now, very important. You do not go out with a sickle to cut down wheat before the harvest is. You don't pick tomatoes before they're ripe, right? You've got to wait. So this harvest, before it can be reaped by the Lord, he has to wait till it's ready, till everything is ripe, and everything is ready. All right? And so it says, that, and the angel is telling him, okay, it's ready, go ahead. Verse 16, and he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. All right, that's the first harvest. Don't answer, but I want you to think about what that might be. It's already happened as of day 5. Now let's go on to the second harvest. Verse 17, another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, and he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And this is grapes. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the wine of the earth and cast it into a great wine press of the wrath of God. Oh, this is a mean harvest. This is a wrath harvest. This is a wrath of God harvest. All right. And it says, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine and cast it in. And then verse 20, and the winepress was trodden without the city. And blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. That's about 200 miles, by the way. So blood came out. Now, the second one is a harvest involving blood, involving wrath of God. The first one, you don't see any blood. You don't see any wrath. All right, now I want you to think about that. And let's think about these two harvests and identify them. The one in verse 14 through verse 16, and then the one before day 5 of the 30 days, happens during the 7 years sometime, of course. And then the second one is at the end of the 7 years, at the end of the 30 days, identified. Can you identify either one of them? Raise your hand if you think you know. Oh, some of you do. Well, that's very good. Let's go with Bob Watso.
First one is people that got saved after the rapture.
Okay, first one, people got saved after the rapture. What's the second one?
People that didn't get saved.
Okay, all right. All right, that's all right. We'll go for that. Anybody have any different view of that? Denny, Owen.
The one after 30 days is Armageddon.
Okay, so the second one is pretty clearly Armageddon. If you study the scripture on the Battle of Armageddon at the end of the 30 days, that's pretty clearly Armageddon where the blood splatters up. And that's a pretty clear identification. That's the Battle of Armageddon. And so what's the first one, Michael?
I believe it's the rapture.
It's the rapture. It is the rapture.
Separate the wheat from the chaff.
That's right. To separate the wheat from the chaff. To cut down, or to cut out the true wheat and separate it. That's exactly right. That's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen at the end. And so there you have it, and that is being taught here, and there are these two things. Now, let's look then at the first one, the rapture, because the rapture comes first, and the Battle of Armageddon is later. In other words, after the rapture, comes the wrath of God. Now, this last harvest is what we call the end of the wrath of God. The Battle of Armageddon is the very last thing to happen. It doesn't happen till what's called the seventh bowl is poured out. It's the last of the last. It's the very end. It's at the end of the 7 years, and even farther than that, it's at the end of the 30 days, at the end of the 7 years. It's the very last thing to happen in the day of the Lord's wrath. All right? But just before the day of the Lord's wrath is the rapture. We will not go through any of the trumpet judgments and any of the bowl judgments. Now, we will go through the seals of the book of Revelation. They're mentioned in chapter 6. Why will we go through the seals when God has not appointed us to wrath? And that begs the question, what then are the seals? Raise your hand if you know. Eric? The seals are, I think, better put, because the wrath of Satan are some of the seals, but all of the seals are prior conditions that must occur before the wrath of God is poured out. When each seal is opened up, see, the seals, the revelation is a scroll. And in the scroll is written the revelation. They didn't have books like we do, they had scrolls. And seven seals are around. There's a seal that holds the scroll. And the scroll contains the wrath of God, the revelation of the wrath of God. So you break one seal, you can't show the wrath of God. You can't read it. You got six other seals. You break, get all the seals open, seven seals. Now you can open it up, and now the wrath of God. That's the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgment. So you have to break the seals first. And so the seals are not the wrath of God. The seals must be broken before the wrath of God can be poured out. And they're in chapter 6. So the wrath of God is not poured out until Revelation chapter 8, actually, because in chapter 7 there's some things getting ready for it. But in chapter 6 all the seals are opened. Six of the seals are open. Okay, now we're going to study then the rapture, and the rapture happens between the 6th and the 7th seal before the wrath of God. Because when the 7th seal is opened up, that means all the trumpets now can be blown of the wrath of God. So the rapture has to happen between the 6th and the 7th seal. By the way, if you study Revelation chapter 6, you know when the 6th seal is opened, people cry out, the wrath of God, hide us from the wrath of God. Because now it's going to happen, and they know. And that's when the sky is darkened and the moon doesn't give her light. And then the rapture takes place right after that. Now, in proximity to the 7 years, when will we who are saved, when will we be raptured to be caught up out of this world, to be delivered out of this world? When, at what point during the 7 years will that happen? And let's go with Kim Lake.
After the tribulation.
That's exactly right. After the tribulation. Now, the question is, when is the tribulation? The tribulation starts right in the middle of the 7 years. The first 3.5 years are called the beginning of sorrows or birth pangs. When you ladies have a baby, you have birth pangs. They're the beginning of birth pangs. And they're going to take place at the beginning. By the way, one of the first ones, according to Revelation 6, one of the first birth pangs, maybe the second one, will involve a great depression. A great depression. Great economic collapse. But anyway, when does that rapture then take place? It's after the tribulation. In what part of the 7 years then would that be? During the first 3.5 or the second 3.5? Raise your hand if you know. All right, Nancy? During the second 3.5 years. So we will enter into the 7 years. We will encounter the seals being broken, the prior conditions of the wrath of God. We will see the beast and the Antichrist in the middle. We will encounter the great tribulation. And then during the second 3.5 years, that tribulation will be going on because it starts in the middle, but it will be cut short. The Bible says those days will be shortened for the elect's sake. God will cut it short. It won't last the full 3.5 years. They'll still have the second 3.5 years. That will last, but the tribulation will not fill up the last 3.5 years. The rest of the 3.5 years, when he cuts short the tribulation, will be God's wrath upon them who tribulated us. It's not a word, but I like to use it there. You see, you need to understand that. You say, Pastor, why? Because Paul said, we're not ignorant of the times and the season. The times are what we're talking about now. The seasons are the things that happen during those time blocks. All right, so here we are. Now we're in the second, harvest, and we're looking at these two harvests, and we're looking at the rapture, and that's what we're studying right now, and that's what we're talking about. And I'd like to just real quickly look at some verses in the New Testament that talk about this rapture. We know now when it's going to appear, so turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to just show you what God says about the rapture, this first harvest. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse number 50. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50 talks about it. Apostle Paul writing, he says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what kingdom of God is he talking about when he says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God? When he's speaking to us who are in the body of Christ, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God in our flesh and blood bodies. That's what he's trying to say to them. Now, there will be people that can go into the kingdom of God with their flesh and blood bodies. But what kingdom of God is he talking about? Real quickly, somebody raise your hand if you know. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What is that? What kingdom of God? Come on, somebody knows. Ah, you know. It's the kingdom of God on earth during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And he's saying that when Christ reigns on earth for 1,000 years, that we who are alive right now and saved right now, we cannot inherit that kingdom in the bodies we now have. We're going to have bodies that are like Christ's body. And it cannot. We can't be there and rule in the kingdom with him and have bodies like we have now, liable and subject to sin, because you'd really mess up. And you're supposed to be the ruling aristocracy in the kingdom, and you can't be involved in smoking cigarettes and doing that. You can't be involved in immorality and doing that. You gotta have a body that is perfect and glorified, and is, and you can't die and drop dead. You have to be alive. And so he's saying that you can't inherit the kingdom in your flesh and blood body. He's saying, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, by the way, we'll be in the New Jerusalem, and we'll be reigning from the New Jerusalem. We'll come down to earth to do that work. And the New Jerusalem is incorruptible. There's no decay there. There's no dirt there. It's perfect. And so your body wouldn't be very good there if you have toe jams or bad breath or... you need deodorant. That wouldn't work there because you're in the New Jerusalem. So that's what he's talking about. And he says, behold, I show you that mystery. He says, verse 51, I show you a mystery. What's a mystery? That's something that is a secret that God never revealed in the Old Testament. Now he said, for the first time, it's going to be revealed through me, through a prophet of God, an apostle of God in the New Testament. He says, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What does that mean? We're not all going to sleep or die, but even if we don't die, we will still have our body resurrected. How are you going to have your body resurrected and not die? It's a mystery. I haven't told you this before. This is something new. The Old Testament saints knew that they would die and get raised. But I'm telling you, some of you won't even die. Some of you won't even see the undertaker. You will see the upper taker. You will not even die. If you're saved today and you're living and you're alive when Christ comes back, you won't die. But wait a minute. You can't inherit God's kingdom and rule over God's kingdom in the body that you have. You can't even go up to heaven in the body that you have and live there. It won't fit. Your body doesn't fit. It's like a square peg in a round hole. So your body has to be changed. You're too ugly. You got to be good looking. And now you might be good looking in this world, but I'm talking about good looking in heaven. That's real good looking. See what I'm saying? And so you got to be changed. And so you ever heard these people in California getting facelift after facelift after facelift? And some of them, they get uglier and uglier. So, you know, by the time they're done, they're trying to get more beautiful. It's horrible. They're like, ha, ha, ha. They should have quit while they were behind or whatever. This is God's facelift. I'm not going to get a facelift till God comes back. Amen? So you just have to put up with me. Because it's going to be good when he does it. All right? And here's what it says. He says, in a moment, look how fast this facelift's going to take place. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. They say one something like 1/100th of a second, the eye twinkles. That's the time the light can shine off your eye and that little twinkle. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So there will be a resurrection of the dead, but if you're still alive, you're going to be raised on your feet, like changed, just like that, your body. And you'll be ready. And I'll tell you what, that is going to happen at the rapture during this time. Now that's just one scripture. Let's look at another scripture on the rapture. We'll just put them together here. Let's go to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. You might not know, but there's a rapture verse in Philippians 2. It says a similar thing. Philippians 3, verse 20. Talks about the same thing. I'll read it. It says in verse 20 of Philippians 3, for our conversation. Now that word conversation does not mean talk. It means, it's an old English word for the way you live your life. For our conversation, or the way you live your life, is in heaven. By the way, do you live your life in a heavenly way? Or do you live your life like people that are living on earth, and they're going to be in the kingdom of the beast, and they're going to die and go to hell? How do you live in your life? For our conversation, our way of life, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. Are you looking for the Savior? The Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, here's the rapture. Who shall change our, look at how he calls our body, our vile body. Tooth decay, B.O., all that stuff that we need to do. You know what? There'll not even be any outhouses or bathrooms in heaven. Amen. That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able to subdue all things unto himself. So at the rapture, he's going to make your body like his body, a glorious body. Will you be able to fly? Bob?
Yep.
Yeah. Will you be able to walk through a wall? And could I go into the teenage class?
Yes.
Yeah, he was able to do that. Will you be able to eat fish or meat?
See,
yes. You could eat meat. Why? Because Jesus ate meat. His first thing I'm going to do is have a McDonald's hamburger. No, I'm just kidding. That's what Kim yesterday, I saw Kim. He says, can you take me to Mickey D's? They don't serve that where he is. So every time I get over there, he wants me to take him to Mickey D's. And then Penn State lost after. You must have been hurting. But I'm serious. You could eat in heaven and you won't get fat. Glory. You won't get a heart attack. I mean, it is going to be a perfect situation in a glorified body that you will have at that time. By the way, you'll never get tired. You won't need to sleep. Never get tired. You will never get old. Never get old. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Never get old. You will not be able to, listen to me, you will not be able to sin. You will not be able to sin. You'll never get a cold. You'll never get the flu. You'll never get any kind of disease whatsoever. That is not part of the equation. I mean, It's indescribably wonderful. And that's why, remember Jesus in the turned the water to wine? They said that this is the best. Usually you serve the best first. You've served the best last. When it comes to our salvation, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. All right? And that's what we're looking forward to. And that ought to encourage you to live for God now, because you're going to be perfect. So start practicing it now. All right? Now that's the goal that God has for you, to make you perfect. And so you say, should I try to be perfect? Yes, try to be perfect. You'll never make it, but try. Every day, by God's grace. All right. Let's look at another verse on the rapture, and that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. Next book, just keep going forward through Colossians. You get to 1 Thessalonians, and 4 and verse 15, let's look at it. It says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Some of us are going to last, listen to me, some of us are going to last through the seals opened. We're going to last through the beginning of sorrows, the first 3.5 years. There's going to be a lot of pain. We're going to last through the great tribulation, and we're still going to be here. And he says, if you alive and you remain, then he says, that you're not going to prevent those which are asleep. That word prevent there just means precede, go before. All right, that's an old word. It means precede or go before them which are asleep. In other words, you won't go before those that have already died. And then he says in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. We already heard about that. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. All right, so those that died, their bodies will be raised first. And it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, here's what it says. When the Lord comes back to rapture us, when the Lord comes back to rapture us, according to verse 14, who's he bringing with them? He's bringing somebody with them in verse 14 when he comes back to rapture us. We are alive. We remain. He's bringing somebody back with them. Who's he bringing back with them? You can read it in verse 14. Yes, Nancy?
The saved that have already died.
Now, he can't bring back their bodies because their bodies aren't raised. So he's got to be bringing back their souls and their spirits. They're in heaven. He's bringing them back. Now, their souls and spirits might have some kind of form, you know, that he gives us, but it won't be the resurrection body because he hasn't raised them from the dead yet. He's bringing them back with him. And the first thing he's going to do is change our bodies to be like a resurrection body, or is the first thing he's going to do raise their bodies? Which is he going to do first, according to what we just read? Denny? He's going to take care of the dead first. He says, first things first, you guys are alive, you're not even going to die if you're still here, so I'm going to raise your dead loved ones first, their bodies, and reunite them with their spirits, and then I'm going to change your body, and then I'm going to bring you both together in the air with me. What a family reunion that will be. Can you imagine it? You know, sometimes you see somebody you haven't seen in a while, and they get all excited. Sometimes you see these programs where they reunite a long-lost relative, and there are tears of joy. But can you imagine that reunion? When your dead loved ones are back there with Jesus, and how happy you'll be to see Jesus with them, knowing that he's the one that brought them back because he died to make this all possible. How wonderful. We ought to realize how wonderful that's going to be, and how much we ought to love him, and how much we ought to live to get people saved so that they could be part of this harvest, because there's a sharp sickle and not everybody's going to get in that harvest. And there are people that are not going to be part of that harvest. They're not going to be saved, and so they need to get saved. And so we ought to live for that opportunity to get people saved, and you ought to pray for people to get saved, and hope to God they get saved, because see, not everybody's going to be in the rapture. Nope, not everybody. All right, let's quickly go on. We're almost out of time. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Just go to the next book forward. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. The rapture is when we get gathered together to the Lord when He comes back. The dead in Christ and the living in Christ will all be together as one family. By the way, Abraham will be there, Isaac will be there too, Moses will be there, Adam will be there, all the Old Testament saints will be there. Everybody, all of us, all gathered together. Everybody saved will gather together. Everybody. You're all in the same family. You're all called the church of the firstborn, which means a called out assembly. And we're all gathered at that point to be part of the church of the firstborn, as Hebrews tells us. What a tremendous gathering that is going to be. The dead and the living gathered together with the Lord. The Lord's going to do that. And by the way, that is an exciting day to live for and to look forward to. All right? And then it says, though, look at verse 2. It says, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled. He says, look at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Don't let anybody fool you and say that before the rapture, the rapture is going to take place before the man of sin. No, it says, let no man deceive you. Verse 3, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed. First, the beast and the Antichrist are going to be revealed. First, the beast is going to be revealed. All right, so that's what we talked about. Now, one more, and this is the last verse on the rapture. Go to Matthew 24, verse 29. Matthew 24, 20. This is the last one. Isn't it great to study the rapture and to know?
Will the animals be raised?
No, the animals will not be raised. There'll be animals in heaven, but there's no resurrection of animals here. I don't know how they're going to get there. But there'll be animals there. He might have pets there, your own pets. I don't know how he's going to do it, but it won't be here. All right. There'll be pets, I believe, in heaven, though. All right. Matthew 24, 29. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Now, what's the sign of the Son of Man in heaven? It's real dark in verse 29, so what's the sign of the Son of Man? Joe?
Very, very bright light.
Very bright light. Brighter than the sun, it'll be from Jesus, His light. And it says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming. They won't like it, people that are not saved. And He's coming with power and glory. And verse 31, and He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Remember, the trump of God. And they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, gathering. Remember, the rapture is a gathering. And that's the rapture. The rapture is after the tribulation. The rapture is something that people will see. They'll see the Lord coming back. They won't like it. It's not secret, something secret that happens. It's something that people can see. And they won't like it, and yet will be caught up and like guided missiles go right up to the Lord. They'll see that. Whoa. Now they'll try to make up stories about it and lies about it, but it'll be something that the world will see. And they'll try to make up lies. Michael?
I bet they'll be saying things like aliens came.
Yeah, aliens came and took them away or whatever. Or maybe alien friends took them away to get rid the earth of the scum. You know, rid the earth of the scum. And if Hitler's in power, he'll be saying the scum have been ridded from, you know, removed from us. But it will be the Lord. It will be the Lord, and we'll be ever with the Lord from that time on. Amen. All right. Come back next week, chapter 15, all right? See you next week.